Hey, so it's Nick Harcourt here, and I'm very happy to meet for the first time and welcome back to 88.5 Jade Bird. Hey, it's so lovely to meet you.
Yeah, you too. Across the pond, but from similar places.
Yeah, exactly. You lived all over England, though, didn't you? You lived in Wales, you lived in London. You've traveled quite a bit, I think, as a kid, and obviously in the last few years. Mm-hmm. And just as we were beginning to sort of get to know each other before we started rolling digital tape, whatever it is, before the hard drive started spinning around, we were talking about Woodstock, which is a place that I lived for 10 years before I came out to LA. Mm-hmm. And you actually were just telling me you made your first couple of records up there.
Yeah, so my debut, I recorded literally upstate near Palinville. And I did it with a producer called Simon Felice, because I know the Lumineers he does as well. So it's all that kind of hub. It's all that hub up there. And then for this second record, I was kind of trying to really get inspiration really early on before it kind of everything came together. And I went back up there and pretty much wrote half of the album there again. It's just this weird magic there I can't put my finger on.
And you were telling me about a cafe there in Palinville. Now, not many people are going to know Palinville, so just mm-hmm. indulge me, guys. I'm so sorry. What was the cafe that you went to every morning for breakfast?
So it's called the Circle W. That's my Welsh come out, W. So it's called the Circle W, and it's been in my producer's family for, I think, 100 years. I think that's kind of how long it is. And then his mum, it went out of the family with his mum's generation, and then he bought it back and redid it. And
lovely.
It's just, the fondest memories ever.
Did you ever get to Maggie's Crooked Cafe up in Tannersville?
Is that the one that's kind of run by... how do I say, like, kind of not drag, but there's kind of drag queens there, I think.
I don't know. But, you know, once you get to upstate New York, there's all sorts of weird and wonderful people.
There really is.
Lovely coincidence. So what have you been doing the last year? I mean, clearly you haven't been able to, tour.
Yeah.
I know you've been writing. I know you spent some time in Mexico. Tell us about that.
So basically I'd kind of finished, or I thought I'd finished writing the record. So I went to record it, and the guy that ended up fitting the bill was Dave Cobb, and he's based in Nashville in RCA Studios. So kind of legendary guy, legendary studio, a bit, I knew I had a lot to live up to there. And so we had to quarantine in Mexico for 2 weeks before going to Nashville for the reasons unknown to me still. But instead of it being Mexico palm trees, beaches, thing, it was Mexico one room apartment. There you have it, because it was in the middle of this time. So I literally sat in my apartment room and wrote every single day. And I ended up just really hitting the nail on the head every time I'd write. I'd end up getting a song for the album every day. So I finished the album. I finished half the album in Mexico, writing it wise, and then we flew to Nashville. So,
So it sounds like you didn't get out to actually see much of Mexico, obviously, if you were just quarantined in a single room apartment.
Exactly. And I remember sitting on the balcony in the mornings, and they'd have these like street musicians play, and there's like some horn players and stuff, and it would really just billow through the whole street. And I just found that quite warm and comforting, but also quite otherworldly. I think it all seeped in my brain and made me feel like I was going for something new.
I wonder, are you one of those songwriters that is influenced by where you are? I mean, do you wear that? Does it sort of come on as an extra character in the writing?
In a strange way, I have to be quite far away. I am not really very good at writing at home at all. I can't think of one song I wrote apart from one on my debut that I wrote at home that ended up making the cut. I think when I'm far away, it enables me to be a bit more character writing, like you said. There's a few songs on this record I was really proud of, because they're not self-indulgent. They're not about me. They're about these people in my brain. And I feel to be a good writer, you have to be able to have that empathy to write about others in a great way. So I felt like I was, on the next step of the stepping stone, so to speak.
Got it. So finishing the writing there and then going to Nashville to record, right? What was the process? How long were you in Nashville?
So in Nashville again was 2 weeks. And I remember hearing these stories of like, artists, the last song they write for the record is always the best. The last song they write for the record is always the best. So I remember 2 days before we wrapped up recording, and I had to fly home, I wrote this song in the vocal booth in the studio, and Dave popped his head in, the producer, and was like, oh, we've got to do something with that. And I finished it that night, and we brought everyone back in literally 2 days before we were wrapping up and recorded it, and that'll be the next single. So we had a few moments like that, crazy, magic, strange moments.
So the first song that you put out just before the end of last year was Head Start. And, mm-hmm. and I remember reading an interview with you at the time, and you talked about feeling that you wanted to put something out into the world at this moment that just mm-hmm. felt perhaps a little comforting. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
So that was a bridge song. It was one of the first I wrote from when I was writing for my second record. So for me, it was the perfect middle ground between my last record and this record. That's why I wanted to put it out first. And, you know, a lot of my songs tend to be a bit heart-wrenching or quite deep in the meaning, whereas this one felt quite carefree and not so focused on that. Which I kind of liked, because I just felt we were going through so much, like the election, you know, everything was up in the air, and I wanted some release into the ether. I felt maybe that could be my job at that point. So that was the decision on why to release it first.
So I'm going to talk to you about a couple of the other songs that are coming, but I know you're going to play something for us as well. What do you want to play for us first?
I think I'm going to start with Houdini.
Okay.
It's a quarter to three, and it's clear, clear to me that you're leaving. Usually we don't come to blows till the evening. Now the neighbors are out on the street trying to hear what we're screaming about.
Thank you.
Thank you.
It was lovely. Title cut of your last album. At the beginning of this conversation, you said that you were thinking maybe there was a change coming in how you were going to write stylistically, record. What did you mean by that?
So I've gone way more electric on this next album, and I've gone way more into my British influences. I feel like I really walk the line between this kind of, Americana kind of songwriting, like Tom Petty or, just Fleetwood Mac or things like that. But I kind of lean more into the Smiths, the Cocteau Twins, Nice. Johnny Marr guitar tones on this next record. So the change did come in that respect. I thought it was going to be a bit more Riot Girl. I was writing a concept album on that. And then I ended up just writing more songs for this other record. So
right.
A lot in the bag.
So, as you said, a couple of weeks in studio to record it, which is pretty quick these days to knock something out. Did you need to go back and do anything after that? Did you have to do any more overdubs or any of that stuff? Or was it pretty much, we're done?
Yeah, Dave's an interesting character. So the process works. I play him the song and the musicians the song. They do their little tab. Literally, it takes them 5 minutes. It's ridiculous. Again, the vocal booth, we all track it completely live. And the musicians are that phenomenal that genuinely in three takes you're done, if three takes. A lot of the times Dave would be like, oh, the second take was perfect. And I'd be like, really? I'd been quite used to doing things to death. And he'd be like, yeah, it's perfect, but we can do another one if you want to. And it was always the one he said that was perfect, So it took a lot of trust. But yeah, it was a really amazing process.
So what did you learn from that to move forward? That you can work quicker?
I love working quickly. So when I write songs, I'm very much like, right, done, right, done, right, done. I really don't like to come back and sit down with another song. So it's probably less learning about the process and more so a marriage of two minds that were very similar. It's really hard to say learning about the process because at the end of the day, the musicians were just phenomenal. There's not much to learn from that apart from like go to Nashville and get the best.
And hire really good people.
Exactly. So it was, it was a bit of a fluke, but in a great way.
So you're in Austin now. When did you move to Austin?
September this past year, like 2020. We got out kind of just before the travel bans really started to come into effect, which was kind of crazy. Bit of fate.
So how has the last 10 months impacted your trajectory? Well, I almost said that. Because things were really rocking for you. And obviously you were going to do another album, but I'm presuming you were also planning on touring in 2020 as well.
Yeah, it was a blessing and a curse. It's a blessing in the respect of I got the time I needed to record an album over the summer. And I wouldn't have had that. I wouldn't have been able to go on these kind of extensive writing trips that I did. Mexico would have never have happened. I would have just flown straight to Nashville. So it was a blessing for the album and a curse in what you say trajectory. Because I feel like musicians now are all having to become slight influencers, which kind of makes me want to die inside. you know what I mean? Because I'm no one got into this, or at least anybody I really admire to do that. But I've tried to make it fun. I've tried to cheer people up. I've tried to make it about the music. So I said, but yes.
So I know that you've done various shows and Instagram shows as well. Mm-hmm. And I was just looking to see what you've been up to. And this week alone, I think you were on Fallon a couple of nights ago.
Yeah, as you do.
And did you do that from where you are right now?
No. So I was really lucky. Long story, basically, we went to Nashville to do a live stream that I'm releasing February the 13th. It's like a full performance, full band, biggest band I've ever played with, incredible people. So we were going to, we recorded it all in Nashville. But the first time we did it, I kind of flew over just before I was about to move. And then someone in the band got COVID. And the day of the performance, we'd done all the rehearsals. We had to quit the whole thing. The whole thing had to be wrapped up. And
wow.
Yeah. So, and luckily 2 months later, we managed to get it all back and do it all. We literally finished it. It's amazing. I'm so proud. The same place we did the Fallon performance. So there was a little bit of light there that I got to play live with the band finally after months.
So, when is the record coming out? Is that performance going to be timed to drop at the same time as the record comes out?
Unfortunately not. It's a single. A single will come out in February. I'm saving my record until the summer, where I feel there'll be at least some chance of a live performance. I think I'm quite, maybe a bit unique in the sense that when people see me live, we have that connection. It's like, you know, fire and ice. I really, people are into me and we can develop a relationship. Sometimes over online, I'm not a Twitter artist. I can't really do the same thing. So for me, it makes sense to keep releasing pieces of the puzzle until there's some light at the end of the tunnel for playing live. But summer will be the maximum we'll wait.
Have you done any shows? Have you done any socially distanced shows at all?
No. I think, you know, it's like the UK, a lot of bands I really admire, you know, like this band called Shame, they organized a whole tour for March. I think Leanne LaHavis as well. And it just gets cancelled because it's impossible. No one's making, everyone's losing money. You know, the vibe is going to be weird. You know, I don't want to get too down, but
But that's really not what you want to do. So you might as well wait until you can actually do it.
You know, yeah, it's a real kind of shame.
I was talking to somebody last year in Atlanta who had done a show on a lake and the audience was on boats.
Wow.
Hey, you know, gotta make
that's
a living.
Amazing. Who are they?
It was an artist called Prisca, Prisca. She's an artist out of Atlanta.
I mean, where there's a will, there's a way.
Independent artist, yeah. And I saw the other day, I don't know if you saw this, that the Flaming Lips just did a show with everybody in bubbles. Have you seen that?
Love that.
Yeah.
Oh, I love that so much. I thought that was incredible.
Yeah. For those people who are watching, listening, who don't know that, do yourselves a favor and hit the Google on that. So do you have a title for the album?
I do.
Are you going to share it with us?
I can't share it. It's because it's the whole concept. And if I told you, you know, I'd be giving it away. So I will tell you later, though.
Okay.
off recording.
So what's the next single?
The next single is the song I spoke about writing in the vocal booth 2 days before we left. I think I can tell you what it's called.
What's it called again?
Yeah, it's called Open Up the Heavens. It was originally called Song 16 because it was the 16th one that made the cut for the record, but we got it down.
I mean, that's interesting. Do you have titles for songs sometimes and then sometimes not? And like you said, it's song 16. And then, you know, you go back and look at the lyrics and find a title. I mean, how does that work?
That was a rarity. Usually I work off titles. That's why I like writing with a book library kind of behind me or near me, because I'll pinch so many words from book titles, or I just thrive on it. Like, you can give me a word and it will just inspire my whole song. You know, like one of them's called Honeymoon. One of them is called Anniversary, I've written. Trick Mirror was a book I'd nicked off it. Houdini. Titles are just my whole spiel, my whole thing. So that was a rarity, Open Up the Heavens.
Right. So obviously you've still got to sit tight for a little bit of time. And I'm sure you're going to be doing press and promos and probably tons more of these. Sorry.
Yeah. No, you're fine.
But what are you thinking for the next 6 months? I mean, you're going to be in Texas, obviously. What's the plan?
I'm going to try and start writing my third record and really make the most of this, because it's like I had a chat with my manager and he's like, look, when the floodgates open, we're out there, you know, back to being a workhorse, back to trying to see, you know, a million people if I can around the world. You know, I don't stop when I get going. So I think a lot of this might be focusing on my third record and also releasing kind of tidbits like singles and things like that, and introducing people to the new phase, shooting the album cover, things like that.
Right. Well, it's been great having a moment to catch up with you, to meet you and hear a little bit about what's going on. You're going to play one more song for us. What are you going to play?
I'm going to play Head Start. I'm going to cheer us up, Nick.
Oh, great.
All right, here we go.
I usually do. They say that I've even given special treatment. I deny it, but I can't. What you don't seem to understand is I won't just take your hand. I've left signs, but you take no notice. Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard? Why is it so hard? I've given you a head start. don't see me, do you? Must be blind not to. That's alright, I'll keep on putting myself on the line. Was it so hard? Was it so hard? Was it so hard? I'm giving you a head start. I know it's girls on easy, but come on, what pity to see. I'm giving you a head start. Is there a way to get your attention without looking like a fool? Should I slip it in all conversations? By the way,
that was so much fun. Thank you so much.
Oh, really great to
meet you, and looking forward to hearing the new record, especially after you just dropped all those new influences on me. It's going to be exciting to see what you come up with.
And I'm so excited for you to hear it too.
Yeah. So thanks. It's great to meet you, Jade, and hopefully we'll see you in LA soon.
Oh, I can't wait. Yeah, I'm sure I'll be there sooner rather than later. Or Woodstock, wherever it takes us.
All right. Cheers, mate.
All right. Bye-bye.